Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield again from my home in Elul Shvut from the Pardes Institute. And we are at the bottom of 32b at the new Mishnah there. And our goal is to get through 33a and even a little bit past that. Today, it's a shorter Amud, so we should have plenty of time to get through. The Mishnah begins as follows. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, ein mavir lav et hatrum, ve'ein mefakhin alav et hagal, lo olim b'ilan, ve'lo rochvin al gabei behema, ve'lo shatin al pnei hamayim, ve'ein chotchin oto, bein b'davar shumishum shvut, u'bein b'davar shumishum lo ta'aseh. So the Mishnah begins by telling us that even though the commandment to hear the shofar is a biblical commandment on Rosh Hashanah, we do not violate either biblical or rabbinic prohibitions in order to enable that commandment. So, for example, we don't go more than 2,000 amot away from the place where we are living. That's the prohibition of Trum Shabbat or Trum Yontov, where you can't travel more than 2,000 amot outside of the residential area. You can't dig in the rubble in order to find the shofar at the bottom. You can't climb a tree. That's a rabbinic decree that you shouldn't. You can't climb trees on Shabbat or Yom Tov. The lo rochvin al gabei behema, and you can't ride on an animal. We don't ride animals on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Also a rabbinic prohibition. The lo shatin al pnei hamayim. We don't sail on rafts on Yom Tov or Shabbat. Also a rabbinic prohibition. The ein chotchin oto bein b'davar shumishum shvut ubein b'davar shumishum lo taseh. We can't cut the shofar. Perhaps that in order to make it a good shofar, or just in general, we can't cut it, whether or not we are cutting in the way of a rabbinic prohibition or whether we are cutting in a way that is a biblical prohibition. The Mishnah continues, Aval im ratza liten letocho mayim o yayin, if one wanted to put water or wine in the shofar, presumably to clean it, yitain they can. Ein ma'akvin atatinokot melit koa, we don't prevent children from blowing the shofar, aval mit askin imahen ad shiomadu, but we can even occupy ourselves with them so they will learn. Finally, va mit asek lo yatsa, one who is just playing with the shofar, not even trying to make noise, but outcome kosher tkiot, we have not fulfilled the commandment. Va shomea mina mit asek lo yatsa, one who hears the shofar blast of a mit asek, someone who's just playing with the shofar, has also not fulfilled the commandment. Now the Gemara begins. My time, what's the reasoning that we cannot violate these prohibitions in order to enable ourselves to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, as traveling or digging or climbing a tree? What's the reason? Shofar asehu. Shofar is a biblical positive commandment. The Yom Tov aseh v'lo taseh. And observing with from Yom Tov, withholding from doing melachot, from doing labor, is both a positive and a negative commandment. There's a positive commandment of tishbot, of to rest, and there's also a prohibited commandment of lo taseh melacha. You can't do prohibited labor. The ein aseh doche et lo taseh v'aseh, and the power of the positive commandment of blowing shofar does not overcome both the negative and positive commandment of not doing malacha and resting on Yom Tov. And presumably the prohibition of not doing malacha also includes these rabbinic prohibitions, that the aseh, the positive commandment, doesn't overcome the rabbinic prohibitions on Yom Tov either. Lo olim be'ilan, lo rochvin al gabei behema, right? The Mishnah lists things that are rabbinic gzeirot. You can't climb a tree and you can't ride an animal. Hashe d'rabbanan amrat lo, d'oraita mibaya. So the Gemara asks, you've already told me that you cannot violate rabbinic prohibitions like going outside of the boundary. Do I even need to include these other rabbinic prohibitions like climbing a tree or riding an animal, which have a biblical prohibition component? That is to say, they were decreed by the sages to avoid biblical prohibitions, because you might come to violate a biblical prohibition by breaking off a branch of the tree and so on. So therefore, why did it even have to tell me these? Zul the Ein Sof Lomar Zuktani. The Mishnah is taught in the format of these, and I'm going to mention these even though I don't have to. Meaning the Mishnah told us about other prohibitions even though I could have derived them logically on my own. Sometimes the Mishnah, the Gemara says, wants to give us a break, and it tells us we would have known by logic anyways. The Gemara continues. The Ein Chochtin Oto Bein B'Davar Shu Mishum Shvut Bein B'Davar Shu Mishum Lo Taseh. You can't cut the shofar, whether it's in the form that you'd be violating a rabbinic prohibition or a biblical prohibition. Mishum Shvut Magla Lo Taseh Sakina. The Gemara explains. You'd violate a shvut or rabbinic prohibition if you cut it with a large saw. Because since that's not the normal way one would cut something, any malacha, any prohibited labor done, what's called kalachar yad in an unusual way, is only a rabbinic violation. Lo taseh, you'd violate the rabbinic prohibition of cutting if you used a sakin, if you used a knife, because that's the normal way of cutting. Now the Gemara asks a similar question. Hashnu mishum shvut amat lo, lo tasme baya. Once you taught me that I can't even cut the shofar, perhaps to make it ready to be blown, I can't do it in a rabbinically prohibited fashion. Did you need to even tell me I can't do it in a biblically prohibited fashion? Again, the same answer. Zo v'ein sarach lomar zoktani. The Mishnah, again, decided to teach us the explicit, even though we could have known it on our own. So it told us both you can't cut the shofar, both if you do it in a biblically prohibited fashion and if you do it in a rabbinically prohibited. And now the Gemara goes on. If you want to put water or wine in it, you can. Now the Gemara makes a diuk. Water or wine, yes, but urine, presumably to clean it, you cannot. Matnitin mani, who is the Mishnah following? Abba Shaul. It's the opinion of Abba Shaul, the Tanya. We know from our Braita, Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul said, Maim o yain mutar. You can clean it out with water or wine. Meiraglaim asur, but using urine is prohibited. Mipnei hakavod, because it is not giving kavod to the shofar to clean it with urine. Now we're on the part of the Mishnah of but not preventing children from blowing shofar. We don't stop the young children from blowing shofar. Ha nashim, the diuk is, but women, ma'akbin, we do stop women from blowing shofar. Hatanya, don't we know from the Braita? Ein ma'at bin lo'at anashim v'lo'at tatinokot mitkoa b'yom tov. We don't prevent women or children from blowing shofar on Yom Tov. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, lo kasha, this is not a problem. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Shimon. In fact, these two sources reflect a Tanaitic debate between Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon on the other. And we know this from a Braita dealing with what's called smicha. Smicha is not rabbinic ordination in this case, but many korbanot require that the owner lean on them and confess their sin over the animal before the animal is slaughtered. That is called smicha. The pasuk says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael somchin v'ein b'not Yisrael somchot, right? The Pasuk said, speak to the children of Israel, when a person offers a korban, the samach yado al harosh, he should lean his hands on the ola offering. And the diuk was made, men yes, women no. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon omrim, nashim somchot reshut. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon say, no, women have the right, if they want to, it's reshut, it's permissible for them. They don't have to if they bring a korban, but they can. And Rashi says, the machloket here is whether or not performing a commandment you're not obligated is a problem of bal tosi, is a problem of adding on to the commandments. Most Rishonim and others don't explain it that way. Rather, they point out that if one is not commanded, there is a potential violation in the sense of, since if you're not commanded to blow shofar, then perhaps you are violating in some way using a musical instrument, and therefore a woman shouldn't do it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or when it comes to leaning on the animal, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since women are not obligated, then they are performing a type of labor. They're using an animal that's designated for a korban, and that would be prohibited. Whereas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Paskin, that neither of those are a problem. Women can do smicha, can lean on their animal, and can also blow shofar. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Women certainly do perform these commandments, even if they are not obligated. There is another machlok where they make a bracha beforehand. It's a very famous machlokot, a long Tosfot here, where Rabbeinu Tam and the school of Tosfot say, and Ashkenazic practice in general, that women may recite the Birkat HaMitzvah, Asher Kiddushah Mitzvotah Tzivanu, over mitzvot they're not commanded in. So, for example, if they take a lulav on Sukkot, they would make the bracha of lulav. If they would blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they would make the bracha over blowing shofar. The Rambam and other and some other Sfardi poskim paskin, no, women don't make brachot over mitzvot they are not obligated in. So a Sfardic woman, for example, would not make a bracha over a lulav. Carrying on in our Gemara, Avamit askin behen ad shil medu. The Mishnah said you can sort of engage them or play with them so they will learn how to blow shofar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu b'Shabbat. Rabbi Elazar says, even if it's, according to many Rishonim, the Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah, you can be mitasek with them. You can play the shofar with them, even though there is no mitzvah shofar on Shabbat because of the gzera of Rabbah that we spoke about earlier. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learn a similar thing in a Braita. Mitaskin behen ad shil medu, afilu b'Shabbat, ve'ein ma'akvina tinukot militkoa b'Shabbat, the Ein Tzrich Lomar B'Yom Tov. So the Braita said you can sort of play with the children until they learn how to blow shofar, even on Shabbat. And you don't stop the children from blowing shofar on Shabbat and certainly on Yom Tov. And now the Gemara points out an internal inconsistency. Ha Gufa Kasha. This Braita itself is inconsistent. Amart mit askin behen ad shil medu v'afil b'Shabbat. You said you can sort of engage with them, sounds like ideally, until they learn how to blow shofar even on Shabbat. Alma, we would see from here, l'chatchila amrian tiku. You can tell them l'chatchila, go ahead, kids, blow shofar. V'hadar tana, but it said after that, ein ma'akvin, you don't stop them. Ikuvahu delo ma'akvin, ha l'chatchila lo amrian tiku. That makes it sound like you don't have to stop them, but ideally you don't tell them to do it. So which is it? Should you ideally engage in the activity of blowing shofar, even on Rosh Hashanah? Even on Shabbat, when it's Rosh Hashanah? Even though there's no mitzvah, or you don't stop them, but ideally you don't tell them to do it. Lo kasha, Gemara says, this is not a contradiction between these internal contradiction of the Braita. Kan bekatan shigia lechinuch, kan bekatan shelo egia lechinuch. One is a case where you're dealing with a katan who has reached the educatable age, I hope I said that right, either 9 or 10, it's a debate in the Gemara and Yoma. And here is a case of a katan that has not reached chinuch. Now, we of course have machloket, which is which. Rashi says you can ideally engage a child to blow shofar when they have reached the age of education, because even if it's Shabbat, even if it's not a mitzvah that day, you're teaching them how to perform a mitzvah, and therefore the rabbis were not gozer, did not decree against it. Other Rishonim, the Tur, for example, holds it's the other way, that when the katan is so young that they're not at the age of education, you can ideally play with the shofar with them because you're not harming anything. But once they have reached the age of education, then you don't ideally teach them on Shabbat or on Rosh Hashanah, because you should teach them to refrain from doing activities that might be prohibited on Shabbat. So you can read it either way, and the Rif actually says you can read it either way. And that's how we resolve that contradiction. In terms of the halacha conclusion, the Rama says in the Shulchan Aruch Taf Kuf Tzadi Vav that a katan, any age katan, whether they reach chinuch age or even younger than that, when it's not Shabbat, you can have them blow shofar all day long if it's helpful in teaching them the mitzvah. We're going to continue on here, even though we're on the next amud, just to get up to the next Mishnah. V'hamit aseik lo yatsa, one who is just playing with the shofar, not intending to blow tkiot, has not fulfilled the obligation. Ha tokeh l'shir yatsa. Therefore, the Gemara makes a diuk similar. We had this sugya earlier about when we were discussing mitzvot tzrichot kavna, whether mitzvot require intent, that if one was just blowing for song, in other words, they were blowing all the right notes, they wanted to blow the notes, but not all the tkiot and the terot, but not for the purpose of mitzvot, but for the purpose of entertainment or a song. They would fulfill the obligation. The Mishnah said mit asek, implying that tokeh l'shir, blowing for the purpose of song, would fulfill the obligation. So the Gemara says, Lema Sile the Rava. Perhaps this supports Rava's opinion. The Amar Rava, Hatokeh l'shir yatsa. That one who blows the purpose of a shir yatsa, The Gemara rejects that proof and says, Dilma tokei l'shir nai mit asek karile. When the Mishnah said mit asek, maybe that included tokei l'shir, meaning the Mishnah used the word mit asek to cover anybody who was blowing the shofar not for the purpose of mitzvah, and therefore we cannot prove Rava's contention that one who blows for the purpose of sawing has fulfilled his obligation, because Rava holds that mitzvah do not require intent to the action. It doesn't need not be done with the intent to fulfill a mitzvah to fulfill the obligation. Mish also one who hears from mitasek bo yatsa. So now we're going to make another diuk. One who heard from one who is blowing only for himself, what would be the case? They have fulfilled their obligation. That's the diuk. The Mishnah said mitasek. So therefore, one who was blowing for himself for the purpose of obligation, even someone listening to them fulfill the obligation. Maybe this contradicts the opinion of Rabbi Zera, which we also saw earlier. Rabbi Zera told his servant, have kavana and blow shofar for me. Meaning, according to Rabbi Zera, the blower has to have the listener in mind in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Gemara is going to reject this diuk as well. Dilma, I did a tani resha mitasek, tani seif anan mitasek. Perhaps not. Perhaps the Mishnah only used the language of mitasek in the seifa because it used the language of mitasek in the resha in the first part of the Mishnah, and therefore we cannot assume that the Mishnah is saying mitasek dafka, coming to say that one who hears someone who is blowing for himself has fulfilled the obligation. It just used the word mitasek to be consistent linguistically with the first part of the Mishnah. Thank you for joining me. Next time we will finish up page 33b, La Gimel Amud Bet. Looking forward.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty. And thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.